Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in and being with us again on our broadcast station and soon to be playing through all the Roku devices throughout the nation. And we will be adding that in the next couple of months. And we just continue to grow, continue to believe that God's going to do great things. Had a great weekend. I hope your weekend was well, good as well. Of course, I'm here on a Tuesday, and you're saying, well, Monday's actually the start part of the week. Well, yesterday I was helping my brother. He was moving to Odessa, Texas, and I was just helping him with everything moving. In fact, it was only me and him. I don't know how I got roped into it, but, you know, it's your brother. You help him where you can. You do what you got to do, and you just trust God to continue to bless. And he's going through a newer, higher paying job, and I'm excited for him and hoping for the best for him as well, and praying for him and believing that God's going to use this as a sojourn for him, and that he is going to be able to see more of what God's will is. I mean, how many of us, you know, want to know more of what God has for us and how God has things for us and what's going to happen in our lives? Hey, remember I was telling you that our last week's guest, when we were last Thursday, we had the show, and it's supposed to be Davis Bunn, and we were not able to get him on the air. we're like, Davis, where you at, buddy? We need you, brother. And he was traveling, and he had been given the wrong phone number by his publicist to call in. In fact, I didn't think of that until the morning of the show. I emailed the publicist to make sure he had the right show, and she emailed him the show, but he didn't check his emails, and he didn't get the number in time. Either way, he was trying to call in, so we got to give him props for that. He was trying to call in and trying to be a part of the broadcast, and he couldn't. And I told him that we said nothing but good things about him, which we did. You can listen to the broadcast again. We said nothing but good things to him, things about him. And we knew that it was probably a mix-up with the phone numbers and stuff, and that we'd have him again. Well, this Thursday, we're going to try it again. I talked to him on Friday, and he did tell me that he apologized and everything. I said, hey, don't worry. I have plenty of shows. I mean, y'all were able to hear Sherry Kagi and her testimonies and hear that interview. And today I'm going to play just a little bit of another ICRS guest that I interviewed, and that's Mr. Clay Cross. We're going to have his interview, and then we're going to be going right into an interview after that with Mr. Chuck Kreismeyer. Kreismeyer. Anyway, we'll see. I have to ask him how to pronounce his name. And Chuck Kreismeyer, we'll just call him Chuck for now. How about that? We'll just call him Chuck. He said he written a book called King of the Mountain. And we're going to talk about what that is. And we're going to just find out what about his life and things. But God is awesome. Even when you're just coasting in faith and just saying, okay, God, where are we going to be? What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? And you just trust him. There's so many things that are out there that you just want to get into and get going and move in faith. And then there's so many things that just don't happen when you think they should. You just got to trust God that you're in the right will, in the right place, the right plan for your life. And no matter what happens, no matter how it happens, just trust that God has his best for you. That God has his best for you. This week on Midwatch TV, you're going to see Charles West. We interviewed him on Skype. He is part of Kingdom Racing. And we interviewed him on the air. We did not get a radio show from him. We did not get a radio show. But we only got a Skype interview from him, so we interviewed him for this week. This week, the Shell Grand Prix or Houston Grand Prix, Shell Grand Prix. It is going to be here in Houston, of course. Hello, but also Kingdom Racing Team will be here tomorrow. Wednesday, I will be going out to Kingdom Racing's to their press conference at a church and meeting some people and doing some interviews and getting some radio and TV spots taken care of over there. So we are excited. We're excited, first of all, that God has given us the opportunity to do this and that we are being called to go to events like that. Now, that is God. Amen. That is God, that He is able to bless us. He is able to take you further. Praise God. I don't have to go and try and find a place to be a radio host or TV host. People call me for shows. In fact, every Tuesday is booked by special guests. I want to give them props. Special guests and Miss Brooke, who takes care of me so well. I told you last week that we didn't have a show Tuesday because we just couldn't get the schedules running. I just got back from Kenya, from Nairobi, from that Westgate Mall incident. I just got back from that 2 weeks before that Westgate Mall incident. God's divine plan was on me, and I was safe in here, back at home. Now, they do a really good job, and only missed one Tuesday in the year. So that's a blessing, and I don't mind interviewing people left and right for them because they are faithful. There's something about faithfulness. They are faithful to get me an interview every time. And sometimes, when I can't even interview who they have on Tuesday, I still have a Thursday open and I let them know. So they're constantly getting me guests. And I want to give them a if you need any kind of PR work, any kind of stuff done for your ministry, for your book, for your music CD, for your project, contact Special Guest. And that's with an S, Special Guest. And then you can go to specialguest.com. Just giving them a little promo here because they continually always keep me booked, always keep the things rolling here. In fact, I just had an idea, which I got to write down, you know. I'm always writing down ideas. I don't have my little notepad here. Oh, wait, I have one right here. I have one right here. And I've been writing my ideas on notepads, on the little sticky notepads, and with little post-its, and I put them on my desk, and I get the idea done, work, get it finished up, throw it away, or I make an electronic backup of it and just put it in my notepad. And I use Evernote. I love using that thing. I put all my ideas in there. Don't try and hack me, I promise you. They will not work for you. They'll only work for me. But I need to get a promo done for special guests, and that way we can promote them while they're helping us and be a blessing to them. Do a little radio promo for them and see. And I could probably cut it for them, but I just want to make sure they're cool with me doing that. So put that on my thing there and we're good to go. So we're going to be out there tomorrow and we're going to be interviewing some of the racing team of Kingdom Racing team, and that's going to be a nice thing, and they're going to have lunch for us, and they said, can we count on you, Dave? Can you be there? I'm going to go there. You know, I was like, you know, it's quite a drive from Atascocita to Katy. It's like two other ends of the town. It's a 45-minute drive, but, you know, I'm going to do it, and the reason I'm going to do it is because opportunities. God has opened up opportunities. I'm going to be faithful to those opportunities. I'm going to see friends that I see once a year. Get to see them twice a year now. The B&B Media Group have been such a blessing to me as well. They constantly keep my schedule full as well. They constantly send me emails, and they constantly keep me completely filled up when I go to the conferences with interviews and stuff. So there's different media groups, and I'm telling you this because God has opened these doors. I have not. If I was to call a publicist and say, I'd like to interview your people, they're going to say, who you are? Who are you? Who are you? What are you? What do you do? But I do not have to do that. Occasionally, there's an interview I want, and I'll send it out. But because I've been faithful, remember I just said faithfulness, because I've been faithful to interview those that are just around me, and those that I could interview, and those that were open for me to interview a few years back, now I am interviewing some of the top people of the United States. In fact, I'm going to have Rick Warren on the show, hopefully this month of October or November, and we're going to see once he gets his radio running. Again, he has been out since his son had passed away. He has not taken any interviews, and I'm going to interview him hopefully within the next few weeks if we can get that going. Other than that, my friends, I have been faithful to interview everyone and anyone, and God has brought me Marilyn Hickey, B.B. Winans, Clay Cross, who you're going to hear in a few minutes, and Michael Linda Jr., all these people. So I want you to get excited about that. I want you to know that God is doing great and wonderful, wonderful things, and that you just need to trust Him. You just need to believe that he can do it. Years ago, when I started this radio station, I had people snicker at me. You ever anybody snicker? You know, snicker. It's not just a bar. It is a laughter. It's dissing you. Not dishing you. Dissing you. Dishing you would be washing you, putting you in the dishwasher. But this is disrespecting you, I guess, is what is best known to say. And I have seen those things. Though the people that seen me do this and put this together looked at me and said, why did you build this space to be a radio station and you're online and you're not going to... They just completely thought that I would never go anywhere with this. Rev Media Network, broadcast and radio station, has opened the doors to Rev Media TV. And we're just growing because from Rev Media TV, we're going to go to actual television. And from actual television, we're going to pepper out there some radio stations that we broadcast on. But my main thing for radio is to get syndicated. That is my main goal. Whether on satellite, whether on a group of stations. And we have enough shows, and most of them are not dated. They're able to go out there, and we're able to be a blessing. So we're excited. We're excited about that. Anyway, here's Clay Cross. We'll be back in just a little bit. I'll talk to you more about what's going to happen with us and how things are going to be a blessing and be a blessing to you. And we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the ICRS 2013 here in St. Louis. And I ran into someone very, very famous, but a man that really loves God, loves his family, has several ministries that he does, not just singing. And we're going to talk to Mr. Clay Cross.
How are you? Well, thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me on the show.
I've been a big fan, and thank you for my CD. It's something that we can show on the air?
Go ahead, yeah.
Okay, we'll get that in a second.
All right.
But tell us, for those that aren't familiar with your music and familiar with your ministry, just tell them a little bit about yourself.
Well, you know, I've been singing now professionally, full-time on the road for going on 20 years. I'm real close to my 20-year mark of doing this.
Wow.
Full-time. And, you know, over the years, God has added to my ministry.
Okay.
I would say early on, I just looked at myself as a soloist. I held that mic and I sang with all
that
I had in me.
Yeah.
And it was effective, and God really used it. At some point, I picked up a guitar and started playing a little bit. At some point, I started wanting to lead others in worship and not just be a soloist, but lead others in worship. And at some point, I started feeling called to share more, to speak more into people's lives, not just do the songs, but truly speak into people's lives. So God has added to my ministry in that way, as well as being an author. And you know, it's just, I take all those tasks he gives me very seriously.
Amen. So talk to us about some of the new things that you're doing today.
All right. Well, I got a brand new project called Rededication.
Yes.
And I'm
trying to find where we put the CD. Okay, I'm gonna go off cam for a second.
It's somewhere around here. There it is.
There we go. It's already autographed, so.
Yes.
It's fine.
You know, and it's been about 10 years since I did a full studio CD with new songs. So there's a lot inside of me that I think God wanted to come out, and my prayer is just that it's pure and that that heaven applauds, not just my fellow man here on earth applauds,
yeah,
but that heaven applauds, that God is pleased with that project. And
so
that,
what kind of songs are on here? What you pour your, I know you pour your heart into everything.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the pouring this time in this
one? Well, the title of the project is Rededication, and I think that theme runs throughout it of living a life that says, God, I don't ever want to feel like I figured this whole thing out and that I'm in a good place, so I don't need your help anymore.
Yeah.
I need his help 365 days a year. I need his guiding.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
I need.
You know, and you have to stay like that, especially where you're in the music industry. It's easy to get a big head in that. It's easy to get a big head in anything that you do.
You can, and I did back in the day when I was really touring a lot
and
on the radio and winning Dove Awards. It probably did go to my head, and God knew that, and God got my attention about 4 or 5 years into my career, and really made it clear to me that this is a ministry that I'm in. It's to help others and to reach out to them.
And then I always tell everybody, I have the best wife that you could have because she keeps me grounded.
All right.
I still pick up the kids.
I know.
I mean, I cook dinner. I clean. I do whatever.
You should, and that's good.
And I stay I stay connected to the home all the time, no matter what I'm broadcasting, I'm doing publishing. It's easy.
Do you unload the dishwasher?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Okay. You got me on tape, but I do. But that's also what God created, boys. Yeah. They do their chores. But you know, I always stay connected, and she always keeps me grounded. And she goes, okay, whatever you are out there, it's when you come home, it's not. You know, your husband, your father, and you know, and you still do that. But she goes, but you know, it's I don't want you ever to get a big head. And I've always tried to keep it simple, and especially even mentioning to you about Whitaker and all that. It's like I'm always you have to stay humble because you know it's all about God.
It is, and
it's all grace and His blessings that He's given you. And then you take care of it and you're managing the blessings and you're the sower and the reaper. And so
Something huge happens in your life, instead of saying when some huge door opens, it's like you no longer say, "Wow, look what I just did."
You say, absolutely.
"Look what he did. Look how he did." It's changing the verbiage of it and how you look at it in your heart, and it makes it pleasing to Him and gives the credit where it's due.
Absolutely. So this new CD, it's rededication. It's something that you really feel that you just put out there for everybody to hear.
Yeah.
And see, tell me a couple of your favorite songs on this one.
Well, there's one called "When I Lift My Hands."
Okay.
And that one is, to me, a real worship song.
It's
crying out to God, and it makes the statement, "When I lift my hands, I'm reaching for heaven. I'm reaching out for maybe something that I don't have, and I want to be closer to you, God, and I want to feel you and be with you." And the act of actually reaching your hand out, there's something to that.
There it is.
You see a group of people and you see a hand go up, it just touches my heart.
Yeah.
Because I know something's going on in that person's life, and they're not necessarily trying to be seen or anything.
Yeah.
They're just like, they're getting extremely vulnerable at that point.
Yeah.
And so there's power in that.
That's absolutely true. So when does this one get released?
Very soon.
Soft release right now?
Yeah, they're calling it a soft release now, which truly I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I'm about to ask you what a soft release means. You get it.
It's an industry term, apparently. I should know. I've been in the industry.
You get it, but you don't. Everybody get it.
But, you know, it's available on my website,
claycross.com.
Okay. It's available on most of the outlets, Amazon, iTunes, and different things, so people can get it.
That's a cool picture.
Oh, thank you. It was in the back seat of this old car that we found for the photo shoot.
Oh, really?
And it was blazing hot the day
we shot
that.
I'm about to say, it looks hot. I can tell.
I got a coat on and off for the look of it, but it was hot that day.
You could tell. You're like, they had to dry you off a couple of times.
They might have, yeah.
Do you got a new book?
I do.
Tell us about that.
This one is titled Dashboard Jesus.
Dashboard Jesus.
Distinctive Reminders for Distracted Men.
Because, ooh,
if you'll be honest, we can get distracted as men.
We can get
so focused on one thing, maybe our career, that we lose track of the more important things in our life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pouring into our kids, being a great husband, being a great friend, discipling someone. And this book is just a series of friendly reminders for guys in core areas of our life, whether it's how we're carrying ourselves in the workplace, whether it's are we serving anywhere? I know we work jobs to make a living, but really are we plugged in somewhere serving? How are we handling this common struggle that most guys have in the area of sexual temptation,
yes,
you know, and managing that and maintaining it for God's glory.
Yeah.
So I touch on all those things in a real guy-to-guy type conversational tone.
Well, there needs
tone.
To be
so
books like that. There needs to be that.
Yeah, well, that's why I wrote it, because I know guys, me included, you know, we need a word in our life that points us to wisdom.
Yeah, and that's awesome. I mean, you need to have books like that. Has it been released already?
Yes, it is. It's available on some of those same outlets.
So it's not soft release on this one?
No, it's there. On my website, claycross.com.
Okay.
It's available on Amazon, different places.
Any feedback?
People are very thankful. Guys are reading it and saying, thank you so much.
It's hard for a guy to admit that they have an issue.
Oh, well, we're guys. So if we're in the car and we get lost, we never want to admit that. We think we can find
directions. Yeah, think about it like that, right?
Exactly. We think we can find our way, and if there's a problem,
the other day,
I will fix it.
My wife pulled out the TomTom because her phone went off on the GPS, and I'm like, no, I don't need that.
Yeah,
like, I know I'm in St. Louis today, and I already know it. Whatever.
That's the way us guys are. So
yeah, but no, that's great. So they can get that book at your website as well.
That's right.
And tell me about the ministry that you have with your wife.
Yeah, we call that Holy Homes because we think a Christian home should be a holy place.
Amen.
And you know, it's not suggesting that it should be a perfect place, because every one of us have issues, and every couple or two people, at the core, self-centered people trying to live together.
Yeah.
And eventually realizing we got to share this together. We got to give, and we got to give, and we got to determine that Christ is going to be on the throne of our home and not just be church attenders.
Yep.
And you know what? I'm all about someone being a church attender. I will always have my family in church. Mm-hmm. It's that important. But man, it's got to mean something when I get home as well. And that's the crux of Holy Homes.
Amen. And is there a website for that?
Holyhomes.org.
Well, how else can you have it? Holyhomes.org. And that wasn't taken. That's amazing. That wasn't
That's
taken.
Right.
That
we
wasn't
got it.
Taken. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. It goes pretty quick, but it's
all right.
Awesome.
Now, David.
Thank you. Give your website one more time, please.
All right. ClayCross.com. That's Clay Cross with an E on the end of it. CROSSE.com. Also, holyhomes.org.
Amen. And we'll be back with another great guest.
Welcome back to the show. And we're excited about the things that God is doing here. And that was Clay Cross. And he was just sharing with you from the ICRS. And I'm excited just because we're able to meet people like that. Like I was sharing with you before we went to the interview. Is my schedule. In fact, I have it right here. Not in front of me, but in my office here at the studio, which is just outside my studio. And I have the printout for who we interviewed at the ICRS, and I think I had 54 interviews. Now I'm sitting with my sons who do a lot of the control room and camera. In fact, my son, I was so just pleased with my son just how well he took over the cameras the other day, and he said, "Dad, you're just the host today. I'm going to take care of the cameras." And he got all the color right and all the f-stops and all the white balance and then everything. He got all of it right, and it was good to see that he was taking control of that and saying, "I got this. Don't worry." And I want to teach him some skills like this because it'll bless him in the long run. And he can't help but be blessed if he's doing God's work, but also it'll give him some talent and some confidence in other things. You know, like when you play sports, you get confidence in playing sports as you go along, and who knows what he can do with this. He's a very creative kid, and I know that he's going to be a great, and he already is a great man of God. So I'm excited for him and know that he's doing amazing, amazing things for the Lord. There's no doubt in my mind what he's doing and how he's doing it. I know that he is completely trusting God in doing the things that he does. So anyway, we're going to take a break in just a few minutes, just looking at our program stuff, and I'm missing one little thing that I need here. And I'm going to have to just look at it another day. But we have so many interviews. We interviewed Pat Simmons, Orlando Magic vice president and basketball guru, Pat Simmons, Pat Williams. We interviewed Pat Williams. We interviewed so many people here that it'll be very difficult for me to get every one of them on the show with us throughout the 24 shows that we do a year on TV, or 48 shows I think we do a year on TV, and just fitting everything in, and plus our Skype. So we're going to have to, I'm going through them, seeing what I'm going to do, because this is good footage. So I may just put them on the IPTV, put all the books under that, and just take a little selection of books, little selection of this and that, and put them aside. Because we devote 30 minutes when we put the Remedy TV together, we devote 30 minutes that we do this, and we make sure that we have this going. And I have my phone on. I apologize. Distraction. So we make a 28-30 show, and these 28-30 shows are going to be broadcast in Chicago, Atlanta, Houston, Dallas, San Antonio. They're going to be broadcasting everywhere one day. Right now they broadcast online. So we're getting everything to the point where we just know that this is a great creative show. We're excited about it because we see what God's doing, and we see the people that we're touching and how we're touching them. And it adds to our life, just the ministry that we do. It adds to our life on how we see what God's doing, and how we see that God is opening different doors as we're faithful. As we're faithful to the doors that he opens, he continues to open other doors. And we're excited about that. Excited that God has this amazing, amazing thing for us. And just called life, just called life, and that we're able to see God move in just a wonderful, wonderful way, and just see what God does And you have to be encouraged. Every time you're faithful, God opens up more doors for you. So just be encouraged. And we're going to play. Right now, I'm going to play something from something that we've been enjoying online on the TV. And this Catherine Albrecht. And it's a good little thing. It's a good little note to know. So I'm going to play you one right now. And here it goes.
About is fair play. Freely film the public, citizens doing the same could wind up in handcuffs. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you more about policing the police in just a moment.
Your search engine is watching you, recording all your searches, and creating a massive database of your personal information. That's creepy. But it doesn't have to be that way. Startpage.com is the world's most private search engine. Startpage doesn't store your IP address, make a record of your searches, or use tracking cookies, and they're third-party certified. If you don't like Big Brother spying on you, start over with Startpage. Great search results and total privacy. Startpage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Filming the police could land you in the slammer. Case in point, Anthony Gruber. Arrested after posting footage of his speeding citation on YouTube, he faced a 16-year prison term for wiretapping. His footage featured a plainclothes state trooper jumping out of an unmarked car, screaming at Gruber and brandishing a gun before identifying himself. Gruber spent 26 hours in jail and had his computer seized. While his case was later thrown out of Maryland court, videographers in other states could be convicted. Documenting police practices empowers the people and should be legal. I say let the cameras roll. It might just put the civil back in civil servant. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
One Impact Live. There is one God. You are one person. You have one impact. Join us today to change the world. This is your life. What are you going to do?
Growing up a competitive swimmer, I was thrilled when my sons decided to take up the sport. Daily, I'd arrive a few minutes early before their practice ended so I could watch their progression, assess their strokes for later discussions, and give them a few tips to make them a little faster. But then one afternoon at the pool, someone else caught my attention. Welcome to One Impact Live. I'm Terry Squires, your host. And you've just tuned in to the 5-Minute Radio Show that will impact your life and the lives around you. One Impact Live is based on my One Impact Bible published by Zondervan, and it's all about our one true God, the one person you are in Christ, and the one impact we're all called to do. You know, this someone was a young girl, and she wasn't the typical swimmer. She wore an old, out-of-date swimsuit that was two sizes too big, and she had a shoestring tied in between the shoulder straps to keep it in place. And she struggled to reach the end of the pool. She was always last and always being passed up by the better-trained girls. And the other girls would wait for their friends to climb out of the pool, and they'd giggle and run back to the starting blocks, and nobody waited for her. She always walked back to the starting blocks alone. But day after day, she'd show up for practice and do it all over again in her old, worn, shoestring rigged swimsuit. And I wondered, what made her come back day after day and struggle to get to the other end and then run back to the starting blocks alone and do it all over again? Isn't that what God calls us to do in our own lives? Don't give up when it's hard to get to the other end. Keep going. Keep pursuing. Keep persevering. Even if you feel like you're on your own, Jesus tells us, I am with you. You know, this young girl taught me something day after day, watching her determination to make the team. This young girl made an impact on my life. And as time passed, the first swim meet finally arrived, and I smiled as I watched my son stand as a team member on the deck around the pool. I was a proud mom. And then I saw the girl who struggled day after day to swim to the end of the pool. She wore the coolest top-of-the-line Speedo swimsuit with a matching swim cap and matching goggles. And I smiled and I thought to myself, she might not be the typical swimmer, but she sure looks like one. She never found out who bought her the new swim gear. I didn't want her to know. And that person remains anonymous even to this day. Isn't it awesome how God works? We're called to impact the lives of others, and then He'll use someone else to impact our own lives and teach us the simple lessons of life. You know, it's the little things in life that changes the lives of others. Let this young girl remind you to persevere, to reach for the finish line. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith." Won't you join me to reach the world at www.terrysquires.com? And until next time, look around today, change a life, and make your one impact.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. We have Brother Chuck. Is it Chris Meyer. I should have went with my first guest. Either way, Brother Chris Meyer is with us, and he's going to talk to us about his walk with God, and we're going to talk about his book, King of the Mountain, and we're going to talk about that and the concept behind it and why he wrote it, and of course, just some of the testimonies that are coming from it as well. So, Brother Chuck, just tell us, tell the listeners about yourself.
Well, I count it a privilege, David, to join with you and your listeners. You have a great name, by the way. Jesus himself is going to reign on the throne of David, so you're in good stead.
Amen.
Well, you know, I've been a believer since I was 5 years of age. I was raised in a pastor's home and have been involved with the church across America and many denominations ever since. I spent 20 years as a trial attorney in Southern California, and shortly after I began the practice of law, the Lord spoke to my heart that I was to run for the state legislature in California. And it was a very strange thing because I'd never had any inkling to do that, but I felt that I had heard that call so directly that I determined to do that, and then ran twice, actually, in 76 and 78. And as I was in that second campaign, the Lord spoke to my heart again, and he said, "Son, you've been pleading the cause of men long enough. I want you to speak to my church." So that's all he said, "Speak to my church at large." Those were the words, and it shook me so badly, David. It was like Moses at the burning bush, sort of. It resonated with me for about 6 months, and I was just desperate to understand what its implications were. And one day, one of our campaign workers in Glendale, California, knocked on the door of one of the voters, and they invited me to go to a Christian businessman's dinner. And I went because I was a politician. I wasn't familiar with their particular religious orientation as Christians, but I went, and there was a man there who purportedly had the gift of prophecy, which was something I wasn't all that akin to at the moment. And so I went there, and as he prophesied over a number of the men there, the businessmen, and I knew those men. I knew he didn't know them because they weren't from anywhere in the area. And what he had said was absolutely on the money, and so I had this screaming cry that came up within me, "Lord, you forgot me. Lord, you forgot me. I have got to hear a word from you. I am just beside myself with this business about speak to my church at large." Well, if my wife had not been there to hear and experience what happened, I would think I was just conjuring this up as a dream. But the man began closing the meeting in prayer. He had not said a word to me. And all of a sudden, he interrupted the closing prayer, and he said, "The Lord has just spoken to my heart. There's a young man here that he has a word for." And he came up, and he put his finger in my chest, David, and he said, "Young man, I don't know who you are, but God has just told me he's called you to speak to his church at large." The very words.
Mm.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Oh, that's amazing. How old were you?
Well, at that time, I was about 35.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, well, this is validating that. This is an amazing validation of what God put on my heart. And so from that point, I began to speak as God gave me the opportunities throughout Southern California. Here I was, a businessman and an attorney, and things were small. There was no great show of anything. And then in 1992, again, the Lord spoke to my heart 15 years later and said, "Son, this is the moment. You've been pleading the cause of men long enough. I want you to plead my cause in the land as a voice to the church, declaring vision for the nation in America's greatest crisis hour here on the near edge of the second coming." We formed Save America Ministries in 1992. Shortly thereafter, the Lord spoke again to my wife and I separately one evening and said, "Now I want you to sell everything you have, leave 30 years of business, ministry, and political investment in Southern California, and go to the birthplace of the nation. I'll tell you what to do." So that's what we did.
Oh, wow.
I was at the height of my career. Everything was going for me.
Oh, my.
We don't have time here to go through all the details, so I just can only give a thumbnail sketch. But we went to Richmond, Virginia, where the Cross of the Covenant was first planted on these shores in 1607. And launched a year and a half later a national radio program called Viewpoint, confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective. Since then, I've written 7 books. Each one of them has been a progressive statement, preparing the church, wooing the church, warning the church, preparing for the second coming of Jesus Christ, preparing the way of the Lord. And so almost every day on our radio program, which is an hour in length, issues-oriented, we say we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. So, David, there it is in a thumbnail, and my latest book, King of the Mountain, just came out 1 week ago, and it is unbelievable the response I'm getting from talk show hosts who are secular and saying, "We have never, ever heard things like this. This is explaining to us now what's going on in our world and why it's connecting the dots."
Mm, amen. So tell us the King of the Mountain. Tell us about the book.
Okay, well, I'm sure that probably 90% or more of your listeners, especially men, when they were young boys, played a game called King of the Mountain or King of the Hill. And even probably some of the ladies did. Their brothers played it, so as sisters they played, or their boyfriends or whatever. So in any event, the whole concept of this, which just kind of flashed before me a year and a half ago, is that, you know, all it takes is a little mound, maybe some dirt, maybe some a mound of gravel or snow or whatever that protrudes 2 or 3 or 4 feet or 5 or 10 feet above the surface, and somebody's going to climb on top and dare the others to take him down. And the moment this flashed in front of my eyes a year and a half ago, the Lord spoke to my heart again, and he said, "Son, that is what has been happening for 6,000 years. It ties all of human history together from my viewpoint, and it explains what is about to happen, what is in the process of happening, as history and prophecy are becoming congruent right before our eyes on the near edge of the second coming." It was out of that that came this book, King of the Mountain, the Eternal, Epic, and End Time Battle, for he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world.
Mm, Oh, that—I mean, you can pretty much just hearing that explanation explains what's going on in our political climate right now.
Well, you can. As a matter of fact, even though the book doesn't specifically talk about what's going on in the U.S. with regard to our Congress, with regard to Obamacare, with regard to all of these other issues, the reality is that the reason why we have this government shutdown that began today is because one party wants to become king of the mountain and believes that if they can hold out, bring the government down for that short period of time and merge that with the plan for completely open and unfettered immigration, that they can secure dominion and authority over this country forever, and there will never be competition again. They will become king of the mountain.
I mean, there's so many stories that you can take this title.
Oh, absolutely. It's unbelievable. And the reality is, and of course the book breaks this down in three major sections. The first talks about the contest itself. What is this all about? Goes back 6,000 years in human history to the Garden of Eden, and then even before that, when Satan was walking in the Mount of in heaven, it says he was walking on the stones of the Mount of God in heaven, and he rebelled. He said, I will be like the Most High, I will ascend to the heights of the north, and because of his rebellion, God cast him out, couldn't have terrorism in heaven. so he cast out the rebellious terrorist in heaven, who took a third of the angels with him, and he was cast to the earth. Well, guess what? God, in the meantime, creates man on the earth in his image and gives man dominion over the earth. Once God gave man dominion in the earth, he had done that for all time. Therefore, when Satan decided, okay, this is my opportunity now to gain the ascendancy and become equal with or greater than God. And I will make the promises of God of none effect. So we know the story about the Garden of Eden and his seduction of Eve in the garden, where he said, hath God said, and she said, yes, but. In other words, she only agreed in part with what God had said. Adam went along with Eve because he said, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And so together, they were prevented from the tree of life, and God removed them from the garden. And the rest is history as we watch mankind progressively and incessantly seeking to rule the world rather than to submit to God's rulership. Man wants to rule the world. And, of course, the Tower of Babel is one of the early adventures in that effort. And God saw, he looked that they were gathering together in one accord. When God had told them to disperse throughout the face of the earth, they rebelled, and God confused or confounded their languages and spread them abroad. But from that moment on, all humankind has, at one point or another, sought to gain dominion over this planet, not under God, but without God, so that he could reign supreme over mankind. Satan has used these power brokers, whether they be political or whether they be religious or both, he has used them over 6,000 years now to progressively lead us to this ultimate moment in history and prophecy, when the final efforts to become king of the mountain are being manifested, and there's only one ultimate mountain that these rulers want to reign from, and that is Mount Zion, the Temple Mount.
Amen. Amen. Tell us about chapter 16, King of the Mountain, titled Muhammad versus the Pope. What's going on there? I want to jump into that one.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's going to bring in two major things. We see through the Quran mandates that Islam rule the world. When Louis Farrakhan traveled the world in 1996 for Nation of Islam, he went through all of the Islamic countries and basically choreographed them into what is happening today, what we're seeing today, as the Islamic nations are all coming together in one way or another. Now, he went to Iran, and he said to the head of Iran, he said, Iran is going to be the vanguard of the Islamic revolution. In other words, the leader. And he came back and celebrated his journey in Chicago with at what they call Savior's Day. And here's what he said, among other things, on that day. He said, Islam will destroy America. Islam will destroy Britain and France and Germany, and all of these great nations will one day come under the rulership of Allah. Spine tingling. Well, we know that the Quran mandates that Islam rule the world. They believe, the Islamic world believes, that this is the messianic moment. This is the ultimate and final moment when they are to fulfill that Quranic demand. And that's why we are seeing with Iran, with Turkey, with Syria, with Russia, the so-called Arab Spring. In fact, our own president took the lead in facilitating the so-called Arab Spring in Tunisia and in Egypt, trying to bring in the Muslim Brotherhood that had been prevented for decades from coming into those countries and having dominion. They were outlawed, but he turned the tide and tried to bring in the Muslim Brotherhood, fundamentalist Islam, to rule those countries under Sharia law. That's the reason he wants to take out Assad from Syria. It's not because he's a dictator. That's the reason he wanted to take out Mubarak from Egypt. Not because he's a dictator, not because he wants to install democracy, but because he wants to install fundamentalist Islam in those countries. And so, that is happening at this moment. We're seeing, even this very week, as that same president now has made his infamous phone call to the new president of Iran and is playing footsie once again with Iran. And this very day, Benjamin Netanyahu, on behalf of Israel, is warning the world, our president, and the United States Congress that you cannot play this game because these people don't mean a word of what they're saying. So that's Islam. Now we've got, that's Muhammad now. Now we talk about the Pope. Now this may be a difficult thing for some folk to handle. And I want people to understand as they listen to this that what we're talking about here is not people who were raised in the Roman Catholic Church who are trying to follow Jesus and so on. We're talking about a geopolitical entity called the Vatican. This is the smallest geopolitical state in the world, but arguably the most powerful. In fact, historically, for hundreds and hundreds of years, the popes have declared that they have rulership over the whole world, over all kingdoms, and over all authority. So when Charlemagne, in 800 A.D., was crowned by the then pope as the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, it sounds like what was happening is that the pope was raising up Constantine to be this great wonder in the world. But what really was happening is that the pope was putting upon himself and declaring for all time that the papacy had the power to take down or raise up rulership in the whole world. And so now what we have, after all of these centuries, we have the papacy moving into position, declaring the New World Order. Benedict XVI declared the New World Order and called for a new economic order for the nations. Before him, Pope John Paul II declared the New World Order. And so why would they do that? Why would the Vatican be declaring a New World Order? It's because the Vatican believes that the only way it can ascend to the heights of the north and rule and reign from the Temple Mount is to ride on the back of this new global government coming out of the West, the resurrecting Roman Empire through the EU, the Western world, and to arise then to prominence, and therefore the Vatican will be able to rule from the Temple Mount. And lest people think that that is far-fetched, just a few weeks ago, from Israel, from Jerusalem, came an article talking about and warning how it appeared that the Israeli government was turning over control and dominion of Jerusalem to the Vatican. And, as if that were not enough, your name is David, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's bring David back into the picture. The Vatican was just given authority. The Pope was just given authority to sit upon the throne of David, so to speak, by being given the tomb of David on the Temple Mount, Mount Zion, just a few weeks ago. Now, why is that important? Because the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, that we often quote at or about Christmas time, says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now get this, "of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." Is this upon the throne of the Pope?
No.
Is this upon the throne of the counterfeit Christ rising to ascendancy through the New World Order, or or Muhammad? No. Upon the throne of David, it says, to order it and to establish it from this time forth and even forevermore. The papacy had to make its connection to David in order to gain its authority to sit and rule upon the Temple Mount. As we speak, 28 separate sites in Jerusalem have been taken over by the papacy, and another 16 sites around the nation of Israel. And what's amazing about this is that a few decades ago, the Vatican would not even recognize Israel as a legitimate state. Why did John Paul II recognize Israel? It's because he knew that in order for them to gain the ascendancy to the Temple Mount, they would have to curry Israel's favor. That's where we are today. And just a few years ago, the former president of Israel, Mr. Katsav, went to meet with the foreign secretary of the Vatican and to demand that the Vatican return to Israel all of the golden implements that were taken by Rome in 70 A.D. when the Roman legions came in and destroyed Jerusalem and took all of those things captive to Rome, and he demanded that they all be returned. This is just a small piece of what this book is talking about. It is absolutely unbelievable, David.
Amen, amen. Now, where can everybody get a copy of your book?
All right, the book can be obtained. Actually, the quickest way right now is through our ministry and website, saveus.org. That's save U.S., not USA, but U.S.org, saveus.org. And shortly, it's going to be available through the traditional ways that people normally get books in the bookstores and Amazon and so on. But right now, the quickest way is through our website, saveus.org. King of the Mountain.
That's an amazing title, and I'm going to have to bug you after we finish the show. I'll call you back later and give you my address so I can get a book. I'm like, you got me like all peeked into this. And you know, I get plenty of books. Every single day I'm getting books. And you know, from the radio host and TV host stuff that we do. And I tell you what, brother, it's like there's not many that come across the table, and you know what I mean, that just makes you want to grab it and go from cover to cover.
I hear you. And every single book, I tell you, David, you and your listeners, when you get the book, you're going to want to make sure you have a seatbelt on, and then when you get into the second section of the book, put on a shoulder harness, and through that, you might actually want to put on a head restraint, because it is going to absolutely blow your mind. There are literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of citations out of magazine articles and internet sites all over the world that validate these points beyond a reasonable doubt.
This is a very, very strong and very, very informative book for a time that we all need to read something like this.
Well, thank you, David. I just count it a great blessing to be able to chat with you about these amazing times that we're in. People, get ready. Jesus is coming. You know that?
Amen. And give everybody your website again and your contact information, whatever you want to give the listeners.
The website is saveus.org. That's www.saveus.org. And if you need to get a hold of us by phone number, it's 1-800-SAVE-USA. 1-800-SAVE-USA. But the website is Save Us, not Save USA.
Amen. Thank you so much for being a guest on our show. I appreciate you taking the time, my brother.
Thank you, David. It's been a blessing.
All right, God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Amen. That was our brother and our friend written a great book, and that's The King of the Mountain. That's something that you're going to get. I mean, that right there, I'm taking notes. I was taking notes during this, and I'm like, this is awesome. This is definitely what God is doing and how God is moving things in life right now. You have to stay informed. You have to stay informed. You have to know what's going on to understand the big picture, not just what they're reporting on the television, but know the big picture, know the insights, know the reasons why people and nations are doing what they do. So I want you to stay encouraged. I want you to be blessed. And most of all, I want you to be blessed and know that God is doing some awesome, awesome things and bringing us awesome. God told you just before we started that we had some awesome guests and that God was bringing them to us. Only God can do that. Only God can bring you people like this. And I mean, I really think this is going to be a very, very successful book. It's already a successful book already, but I mean, with the sales and everything that's going to start coming in and people are going to read this, it's going to be something. You know that you heard them here on Midwatch, King of the Mountain, author Chuck Chrismeyer. Anyway, my friends, I enjoyed having you on the show today and enjoyed having my time with you. And I want to tell you that just continue to be blessed, continue to focus on God, continue to trust Him, even in these crazy times. This government will turn everything back on a little bit. Like he said, it's just someone trying to play King of the Mountain. And that's why we're shut down today in the government. Anyway, God bless you. I had to put that plug in. God bless you. We'll see you next time on The Midwatch.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.